New rules for regulating big tech in Europe. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. The European Commission today is expected to unveil new proposals for more oversight over tech giants like Google, Facebook, and Amazon. The new rules are likely to focus on issues including how algorithms access data and development of artificial intelligence. The BBC's Dave Malloy has more.
We can expect a couple of things. First up, the head of the EU's internal market, Thierry Breton, is one of the people behind this, and he has said some things about taming the Wild West behind this industry. It's very well known within Europe that most of this new development is done by Chinese or American companies. So in the United States, you have companies like Facebook and Google who are developing these huge AI and data industries, whereas European companies have kind of fallen behind in that regard. But there's also the issue of privacy, and Europe has taken a global lead on this in recent years with the GDPR privacy regulations, which a lot of people around the world, or privacy advocates, I should say, are holding up as an example of how this should be done.
All of this is aimed, theoretically, at making European tech companies more competitive?
The European Commission would say that that's not the goal, and it's more about protecting citizens. But if you look at the people behind this, so Margrethe Vestager was one of the people who was involved in regulating Apple's tax situation in Ireland a few years ago. And again, having Thierry Breton, who is in charge of the internal market stuff, that would suggest that there is some sort of market element to it. And as well, it's important enough to these major companies that the head executives from Microsoft and Facebook were both in Europe this week to talk to the Commission and put forward their stance.
So if it's not aimed at making them more competitive, what is the goal?
So we know from some interviews ahead of time that they are looking at regulating the more controversial uses of things like AI. There's some suggestions that they may look at facial recognition and whether that's a privacy issue. There were concerns that they would ban such things outright, but now it looks like the expectation is that they will take it on a case-by-case basis, whereas things like medical concerns or insurance or major privacy issues will be looked at much more closely.
We're expecting a formal announcement to be made in the next couple of hours on these new rules. The BBC's Dave Malloy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's do the numbers. Global stocks are higher after China reported the lowest daily rise in the number of new coronavirus cases since the end of January. Japan's Nikkei rose 0.8%. Hong Kong's Hang Seng was up 0.5%. And the Pan-European Stocks 600 Index is also up 0.5%. There's little doubt the coronavirus outbreak has wide-reaching economic implications, not just for China, but the world. Companies across a range of industries have warned about the impact of supply chain disruptions. Consumers, at least in affected areas, have delayed vacations, reconsidered eating out at restaurants, and made fewer trips to shopping centers. All of that leads to a decline in economic activity. But how much does media coverage influence our behavior during major events like this?
I gotta say, the entire atmosphere of Hong Kong at the moment feels kind of apocalyptic.
80% of the cases of those who've contracted the coronavirus seem to have only had it in a mild form.
A city first paralysed by wild pro-democracy protests plagued by coronavirus fears.
This disruption to business may be different than most disruptions in living memory.
Fortunately, the other thing that was on panic buying just another week ago, rice, is now back on shelf. A bit of good news here.
Those news clips over the last few weeks prove it can sometimes be difficult to determine the severity of a problem depending on who you're talking to, where they've been, and what their individual experiences are. So how do perceptions factor into the economic impact of events like the coronavirus outbreak? Elon Noy is chair of the Economics of Disasters Program at Victoria University of Wellington.
The main comparison for this current event is the other coronavirus that hit 17 years ago. That's the SARS epidemic, which was pre-social media. We don't really have evidence to show that now is worse than the SARS epidemic in terms of people's perception, because we don't really have opinion polls yet on what do you perceive your chance of getting the virus and so on. We have that kind of evidence from the SARS epidemic, and we know that people vastly overestimate. We're talking vastly by a factor of 10,000, the likelihood that they will be infected. We don't really have those polls here, but all what we know about social media in the last 10 years is that social media just ramps up these kind of things. So we anticipate that that divergence between perception of the risk and the actual risk diverges even more because of social media. And we know that there is a lot of panic on social media right now.
So when we do look at the numbers, we've seen, you know, countries even in Europe like Germany warning about the impact of supply chain disruption. Apple issued a revenue warning this week because of supply chain disruption for the iPhone and various products that it produces. Is the economic impact, at least so far, similar to what we saw at this stage during the SARS epidemic, or do you expect it could be worse or about the same?
No, I expect it to be worse. First of all, the numbers are higher than SARS. But that's not the reason it's going to be worse. It's going to be worse because the panic is worse. I remember SARS, and I remember that people were worried, but there wasn't this kind of a global worry. But more importantly, China is much more integrated into the world economy than it was at the time. So Chinese tourism is a much bigger share of the world economy than it was then. In almost all countries, the retail sector, the services sector is a bigger share of the economy than it was 17 years ago. And China is much more linked to global supply chains than it was 17 years ago. It has a much bigger share in world trade, so I think about three times as much as it had in 2003. And the supply chains are much longer, and therefore, you know, any break in the chain will have an impact on a bigger chain. So for these three reasons, the impact this time will be larger. I have no doubt that it will be larger than SARS.
Elon Noy, chair of the Economics of Disasters program at the Victoria University of Wellington. Thank you.
No worries.
Well, let us know how your perceptions have changed. We're at the hashtag BBC Marketplace on Twitter. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.